The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. He is your worst nightmare. He's a radio host with a brain. That means he can blow your mind whenever he feels like it. Peter Boyle on News Talk 710, KNUS.
It's hour two of the Peter Boyle Show. Oh, dark 30, although after Saturday's winter solstice, cough medicine works me up, winter solstice, the days are now getting longer. We'll start to notice it by the end of the year. It really is noticeable here in Colorado. Good-looking day, though. 60 degrees today, 53 tomorrow, 47 for Christmas Day. Just 2 days until Christmas. We are struggling trying to get through the international maze of phone lines. I spoke to Katie on my cell phone, but we can't put her on the air from there. So we'll keep working on Katie Hopkins. In the meantime, let's get to some calls right now. John in Lakewood's been waiting. John, thanks very much. Welcome to the Peter Boyle Show.
Good morning, Randy. Good show.
Thanks.
The reason I'm calling is I'm going nuts over this impeachment. I can't believe it. I have three fast questions about the phone call, and you're an attorney. Number one, does the president have the right to talk to foreign leaders in a private phone call and discuss the subject of corruption? Doesn't he have a right to do that?
It's his job. It's part of what he was elected to do. He
sets
the foreign policy of the country, and that's what he's supposed to do. You betcha. Go ahead.
Number two, can he bring up the name, if he has probable cause, of an American citizen that he suspicions is in this foreign country doing things that he isn't supposed to do? Can he bring up that name in a private phone call?
Of course. Of course.
Well, then my third question, I guess I'm trying to get a little bit cute here, but if the American citizen happens to be the vice president and he is a political adversary, I guess, the president can still bring him up, can he? His name up?
100% absolutely true.
Well, then I say my case is closed. It's simple. We don't have to have long words or anything. It's simple. He didn't break any rules.
Yeah, and then the other article of impeachment, of course, is obstruction of Congress, because he says, no, Congress, separate, co-equal branch of government, you don't get to take my advisors, my internal documents, my internal memos just because you want them. That's not going to happen. And so, you know what, John? I'm going to put you back on hold. We can finish if we want. We have connected with Katie Hopkins, and I'm so excited, Katie, for where you're at. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, good afternoon from me, but a very good morning to you.
You better believe it. Give folks who aren't yet familiar with the international superstar that is Katie Hopkins, give a little bit of your background real quick, and then we'll talk about our future marriage.
Bless your heart. So I am known by some who are less fond of me as the biggest bitch in Britain. I'm known for being a very outspoken individual who has strong opinions on most matters, that leans centre-right, right-leaning, and is a massive supporter of Donald Trump, a massive supporter of the United States of America, and a huge cheerleader for Boris Johnson and Brexit. So as your good listeners will be able to work out for themselves, I am therefore a figure of hate and a target for leftists, dreary feminists, and globalists. And so that's a sort of a brief summary of who I am.
You were in Colorado two or three months ago now, and Brexit was still in question. And then, of course, it looked like it was going to be delayed again. Boris Johnson took the very courageous and dangerous, potentially dangerous step of wanting, of calling for another vote, basically, on the issue so the people could be heard again. Through all of those things, including the last time we spoke with you, you were very optimistic that he was going to pull this off. Why is that? What is it about him that that made you so confident in light of the years that they've been able to delay the exit from the European Union of Great Britain?
Yeah, so there's two parts to this. We voted for Brexit. We voted to leave the EU 3.5 years ago. But very much like in America, the parallels are really clear. You know, because America's decided it doesn't want Donald Trump, or the powerful, the elite, the swamp have decided that, they're doing everything they can to try and stop the democratic rights of the people. Very similar in the UK. Our establishment did everything. Our parliament did everything. Individual MPs. It was ridiculous. It got to the point where it was almost like a kind of Acme cartoon. Trying to stop Brexit became a bit of a joke. You know, it was almost like a grand piano would be thrown off the top of a building and then a telephone box would explode. And it would just be kind of the craziness of the desperation to stop the will of the people. My confidence was always in two things, the first of those being the British people that I rely on when I'm having dark moments about the state of my country. I rely on the fact that the heart of this place, the Britain I believe in, is a good place with good people in it. And the second thing is Boris Johnson. He is just a lovable, affable, emotionally articulate and intelligent individual, and when his detractors meet him, they can't help but love him. And he really did go all out. He saw where this was all headed. He saw that Brexit was never going to happen. The Parliament would never let him push it through. And so he went all out, took the biggest risk there is, and said, I will call a general election. And that big bet that he placed in the British people paid off. And the really remarkable thing that I really would want to impress on your listeners is it wasn't your regular conservative, your regular Trump supporter, your regular American that came out and saved us. It was the blue-collar, working class, always voted Labour, always voted Democrat all their lives, always have been leftists. They came out and they said, no, we're standing on the side of democracy. We're going to back Boris. And that's why he managed to pull off this massive victory. And I have to say, there is a feeling in Britain right now, I've never felt it like it, not in 3 years or so, of real positivity, of confidence. And we just got the news in just about 5 minutes ago, highest business confidence for 3 years, which is just great news because it means that we are now leading the way out of the EU, and other countries still, you know, very much browbeaten by the EU, the globalists, the kind of Merkels, will follow us out of the EU. So much excitement for me. I've been utterly obnoxious to be around for the last week because I've just been beside myself with excitement. But I think this all bodes well for Trump in 2020.
Without a doubt. And it's so great that the business owners in Britain understand the potential of getting out of the micromanaging control of Brussels and actually entering back into free trade agreements with the best trading partner in the world, the United States of America. When the citizens of Britain voted on Brexit back 3.5 years ago, the margin of victory was 52-48. When they had, and then for 3.5 years, we had all of the mainstream media, all of the bureaucrats, and all of the insiders saying, no, the people just don't know how bad this is going to be. It's going to destroy our economy. It's going to blow everything to smithereens. And when they had a chance to vote on it again, this vote was even more dramatic than the original 2016 one. Tell folks about just exactly how aggressively the citizens of Britain said, get us the hell out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in the weeks before the general election, the polls were narrowing. There was a real fear again because this was really now a choice between Boris Johnson on the right with get Brexit done or hard left Jeremy Corbyn. You know, anti-Semitism rife within his own party, essentially masquerading as the Islam party, wanting to shut down private school wanting to repossess second homes from landlords that let their properties out. Dramatic, draconian, socialist policies that would have renationalized this country and made us have one of the biggest governments in modern history. That's what we were up against. And there was a real fear, but as it turned out, Boris Johnson romped home with a massive majority, an 80-seat virtually majority in the House of Commons. And what he also managed to do, and what the voters, the great British voters did, was every single MP who failed to deliver on the wishes of their electorate, every single politician who failed to represent the people that put them into power, they were got rid of by their voters. And it was the real glorious moment when Boris was acknowledging his victory. He came out and said, now the power is with the people and we are the servants of the people. And that is very American in tone. There is a lot, when I'm in America, of people talking about, you know, the government serves the people. And that is very much where Boris Johnson is pushing from now, that he owes the people of Britain a service and to be true to his word. And there is a real sense of bringing back some sense of honor into politics, because for so long it's been blown by the wayside. And I really feel that this country is sort of, it's almost like if your listeners have got a pet dog or a pet animal that is proud of itself. You know, if you say, well done, you, good dog, well done, and it puts its little head up and it puts its little shoulders back and it wags its tail, that's what Britain feels like at the moment. People have got their heads up, people have got their shoulders back, and I think we feel proud as a nation that we rejected the kind of archetype of socialism, the architect of socialism and a sort of downward spiral for our country. I don't think we're going to get Britain back. We can't save this country because of our demographics. But what we have created is almost like we hit pause and said we're going to have this last stand. There will be this last 10 years of Tory rule that will mean that we will once again be much brighter place, a much better country than we have been fearful that we were going to become. So really, you know, a great time here in this country, and therefore I now feel a sense of responsibility that I can help, or I'm sort of cheerleading for Americans who are being beaten up now in the same way that we were beaten up for 3.5 years. You know, you're watching your president and the ridiculousness of Nancy Pelosi, and I want to be the one saying, we've been through this, it's going to be okay, but because we can fight back against this still at the ballot box.
You know, the parallels are so fascinating, because America was truly at a tipping point, on a precipice, back during the 2016 elections. Had Hillary Clinton been elected, another 4 to 8 years of Barack Obama policies, another drive toward keeping the open borders, changing the demographics of America. And one of the things I wonder, how much time do we have with you? Because
you're perfect. You
okay.
Keep going.
All right, good. Because I'd love to get, we've got about 7 minutes to the break and then a long break. We can call you back and maybe do a second segment, because I've got so many questions for you.
Sure.
Okay, good. Do you think it's possible in America? This is one of the hooks I'm hanging my hat on for the future, that because of the return of manufacturing jobs, because of increased wages in the lower income sectors of our country, because of all the tremendous success, full employment, etc., that the policies of Donald Trump could indeed actually change the voting pattern of some of those demographics that the Democrats have been so aggressively trying to draw into our country through illegal immigration, people who at least initially in their financial lives will vote for Democrats because they think Democrats will take good care of them with government subsidies. And I'm just wondering if success, the ability to make your own way, the American dream that's available for anyone who's here legally, and seeing all the evidence of that all around, could over the next 5 to 10 years, at least in America, if not in Great Britain, change the voting patterns of some of those changing demographics.
Really, I think that we have a clear almost model, except it wasn't modeled in effect. It happened, but we have that model here in the UK. So because the hard left are so much the Islam Party, and because of their raging anti-Semitism, our Jewish friends were, I have friends who had packed their things. They had packed their children's clothes, they had their passports, and they were planning to leave the next day if Jeremy Corbyn got into power, because the attacks on Jewish people in Europe, as you'll appreciate, but particularly in London, were and are out of control. Now, as a dual thing to that, our Indian diaspora were also suffering because Labour sides with Pakistan. And these parallels are true in America as well. And what happened was, historically, the Indian diaspora always voted Labour. They were the ones that helped swing seats to Labour, to the left. And they joined together as a group and said, no, we will not stand by and watch the Jewish community be persecuted. We are not willing to be next to be the target of Pakistanis and Islamist hate. We will not vote with a party that represents them. And they walked away. And I really believe where America is, you are at this tipping point. You can see very clearly with the Ilhan Omars, the Rashida Tlaibs. Those individuals haven't just come about by chance. They are planted in America with a purpose. And I think Americans' eyes, particularly legal migrants to America who have worked so hard to honor your country, to honor your flag, to find and make their way, they are going to be part of this glorious fight back for Trump, because they are the true beating heart of America, because they are the ones that tried hard and America gave them a chance to succeed. And that's exactly what you see with our Indian diaspora here, who switched from Labour the left to voting Boris Johnson because he stands up for a better Britain. And I believe that parallel is perfectly true in the States, and it's why we have, what do we have, 8 months, 9 months to get that message across to legal migrants and those who want a better life, that if you are aspirational, you're going to back Donald Trump.
The energy, the enthusiasm that turns out anywhere that man goes. 5,000 people, college kids and high school kids, turned out to the TP Turning Point USA event over the weekend, and Donald Trump came and delivered. He's so generous with his time. He doesn't make a 15-minute presidential appearance. He makes an hour and 30-minute presidential appearance where he literally talks to the people, talks at our level, talks about the things that matter to us, celebrates the greatness of America and the successes, and then takes the fight fist right in the face to these radical leftists that are creating all these lies, all these mischaracterizations about the kind of person he is and where our where his policies are heading, our standing in international affairs. All of those kinds of things. He is setting the example, and it seems like Boris Johnson, in his British sort of way, followed that same Donald Trump model in really speaking to the people who've been ignored for decades by our politicians and bureaucrats.
That's exactly right. And I think where that comes through is the authenticity of the thing. So whilst others may have contrived photo opportunities, or you'll see, you know, Pete or whomever turn up somewhere and they don't fit, it doesn't feel right, they don't seem like they belong, you can tell that someone somewhere thought this would be a good idea and put a white, fluoro vest on them or a silly hat or whatever. With Boris and with Trump, they are authentically there because they get people. They have this huge emotional intelligence. And so when Boris is put behind a cafe store to serve donuts, he does it, but he does it in a way that shows he can connect with people. He says sweet things when he's doing it. He's got real, he really cares about the person he's looking at. And you get that from Donald Trump as well. He really cares about the people in that room. And he knows, he has gratitude, Donald Trump, for American people and the voters, just like Boris does. And there is less of this kind of, I'm above you and I deserve your support, to, I need to earn your support and I'm grateful to you and I'm going to make your lives better as the result of you, you know, giving me your support. And that's really a different way of thinking about politics. I think it's really bold and really brave. And the thing is, behind Trump and Boris Johnson for that matter, and then Modi in India, who is surging forwards, pushing the rights of Hindus, doing a fantastic job, you know, then you've got Bolsonaro, then you've got Salvini in Italy. I'm imagining this as kind of, if you imagine a military and the way we put ranks of troops behind each other. You know, there is a rear guard now bringing up the rear behind Trump and behind Boris. And that's why I think we can afford to be positive about the direction in which we're heading. Because as much as it can feel really lonely to be a conservative voice in America, you are anything but alone. You know, we are now a massive contingent, and a lot of us have started to have our little heads up and put our shoulders back. And I think that's the real dynamic that's going to power us forward. And if it's the last thing I do through 2020, you know, that's the message I'm wanting to keep bringing across America so that we get Trump into power again 2020, because then we are about to have probably the best 5 years, you know, that we've seen both sides of the Atlantic.
It is looking very, very good for the reelection of this president right now. The left knows it, and that is why they are flailing and wailing every single minute of every single day, especially on their left-wing controlled media sources. Katie, let's go ahead and take our pause here so we can have a good chunk of time with you on the other side. So appreciative of Katie Hopkins. It's about 1 p.m. there, so not too late yet. She says she'll stay with us, and we will keep her as long as we can. Katie Hopkins from, are you in London specifically?
No. So right now I'm in a little place called the West Country, which is the countryside, and it's a place I like to call the rest of the UK.
Nice, 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 nice. All right, sit tight. We'll continue with Katie Hopkins on the other side. Randy Corpin here for Peter Boyles. It's 710 KNUS.
This is the Peter Boyles Show.
And we're back, 627, still dark 30 outside. About 40 degrees in Denver, 46 in Aurora. High today of 60, 2 days before Christmas. So very exciting. And if you have not completed your Christmas shopping, make sure you join 710 KNUS at Centennial Gun Club tonight. Peter Boyles will be there from 5 to 8 with great deals on accessories like targets, speed loaders, cleaning accessories, private instruction, magazines, you name it. Go to centennialgunclub.com/Peter for complete details. I've been invited. I'm fighting off this cold, and I'm doing early radio for Peter again tomorrow. So I will try to be there maybe around 6 or 7 o'clock for a little while. But the big deal is go in there, get the deals, get those stocking stuffers, and say hi to Peter Boyles. Going to be a great night tonight at Centennial Gun Club, centennialgunclub.com/Peter. And we are rejoined by Katie Hopkins from Great Britain. And Katie, this radio station has been under assault for the last month. You know, we are the entire station needs rehab, hate-filled radio. Colorado has demonstrated wholesome signs that it is leaving its dark ages. Then sewage such as KNUS surfaces and gains are wiped out for the good people of the state. Some of the criticism of the station may be self-inflicted, but whatever. This is just part of the war. This is just part for the course, given the fact that we're celebrating the president, we're celebrating the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, all of our God-given rights protected by the Bill of Rights in the Constitution. And I can't even imagine the level of hate and vitriol you must be fighting against in Great Britain.
Yes, and I think the first thing to acknowledge is no matter how much of a target I am or any of us are, it's never easy to go through it. So, and I mean this for any individual out there who feels got at or targeted or, you know, these can be really hostile times and it can be really difficult. When people say to me, oh, well, it's water off a duck's back. Oh, they're just crazy Democrats. I take no notice. I don't think that actually speaks to the heart of this thing, because for many people, it is really hurtful. And I think it's better actually to acknowledge that it does hurt when people attack, even if they are raging maniacs holding crazy signs and dressed in black. It does. It is unkind, and much of the vitriol is completely uncalled for. And I think then when you acknowledge it is hurtful, but then you allow yourself to process that hurt, it allows you to deal with it much better. So, for example, you know, today there is a hashtag trending on Twitter in the UK. Katie Hopkins is a massive, and I won't use the word because it's rude, but basically calling me an unkind name. That's trending on Twitter because I made some points against a black rap artist that is being held up as the new beacon of hope for the Broadcasting Corporation here in the UK. But anyway, so my name plus a rude word is trending on Twitter. a couple of weeks ago, I had the police to the door of a house that I'm not even registered at because I can't be registered in a home in the UK because I'm a target. Police at my door to intimidate my children, actually, in order that I stop reporting on a Muslim grooming gang or rape squad that had been operating in the north of this country. And very often people report my own children to social services. I have to be investigated, which is absolutely right and fair because that's their job. But people do that in order to try and silence me. So there are many and multiple tactics used by our adversaries to try and close us down. But I think what we remain resilient, the reason we can remain resilient is because we know, and sometimes you have to go outside and breathe the air and listen to bird song to remind yourself that we are on the side of good. And the things they're saying about us aren't a truth of who we are. The labels they attach to us aren't the truth of who we are. And we just need to be able to go to bed at night and know that you are the person that you know you are. And so, you know, that doesn't make it easy for the things that you guys are going up against. I'm sorry for the attacks on your radio station. And, of course, it's individuals they come after, individuals' names and individuals' livelihoods. But I know that this fight is about something bigger than any one of us. And I also know and I believe this, and I'm not a massively religious person, but I believe we are living through this time for a reason. And people that are at the pointy end of this thing, like myself, we're here for a purpose. And that really does drive me forwards. But I do have a lot of heart and strength to give others that feel, you know, it is horrible. People talk about Thanksgiving dinners where their own daughter-in-law won't come and have Thanksgiving anymore. I mean, that's it's hurtful, and I understand that people are upset.
Yeah, I've had cousins of mine. I'm pretty sure it was cousins based on the initial, who have made donations to both the national and the local Planned Parenthood organizations in my name. And then I get the thank you cards in the mail from Planned Parenthood that say, thank you, a donation was made in your name on behalf of. And it could be somebody just making that up, but it also, the initial and the last name fits relatives. And so that's how desperate and deeply angry they are. And it's funny, I saw a video of Jeremy Corbyn, the labor leader, after the Brexit vote, and reporters were around his flat.
I know the one they're talking about.
Yeah, I may have seen it on your Twitter page, KT Hopkins. And he comes out, and they're asking him for his thoughts, and he looks so angry. Gets in the car and slams the door. And so one of the themes I've been pushing on my show and when I'm filling in or doing events around the state or my Tea Party events or whatever is we have to remember we are the happy warriors. We're winning. We are on the side of right and freedom and liberty and self-determination. And the other side is so angry and so desperate. We can't let ourselves get caught up in those feelings of anger. I'm glad you talked about getting outside, breathing the air. I got on my Harley yesterday to go get my cold and cough medicine because it was 60 degrees, and it just felt good to get away from all of the drama, you know.
It's so important. Yes. It's so important right now in America to breathe, and I really mean that. So when bad things happen, and I'm not, you know, one of these kind of incense-burning, vegan kind of, ooh, love the planet. It's not that. It's just that when we get under situations, sometimes we start to breathe really shallow because we just get hard. When we really breathe and then we remove ourselves from the noise, which is often self-inflicted because we now bring the noise into our living rooms, in our devices, on our phones. That didn't used to happen historically.
24 hours a day,
exactly.
If we're not careful.
These network news stations just pumping you full of this nonsense. We have to decide and have the self-discipline in a military kind of idea to remove ourselves from the noise and to think clearly and to remember. I mean, this was a big part of the Brexit and holding Brexiteers together over a long 3.5 years, from my perspective, was reminding people to take time to remember what you think, remember what you believe and why it matters, and find others to also have those conversations with. Because we have to build ourselves oasis of sanity that we can sustain ourselves in until we can get to a ballot box or make ourselves heard. You know, we have to be self-sustaining, and that is all about being mentally strong and mentally resilient. And I think one of the really fun things that just happened today, we have a British Broadcasting Corporation that we have to pay for. We aren't even given a choice. We are taxed to pay for this broadcasting corporation. Boris Johnson just came out today and has told his ministers they are no longer to appear on that flagship, BBC's flagship morning radio show. He's not going to allow it anymore in order to take power away from the propaganda machine of the state. And that is a brilliant, brilliant thing. That's the sort of ethos we need as well, is don't let the propaganda get to you. Be better than that. Be bigger than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that's so important for people to remember, you know, I wear my MAGA hat or my Keep America Great hat on airplanes when I'm traveling around the country, when I'm out in public or in the liberal enclaves of Denver or Boulder. More and more I'm getting, you know, responses from people, even if it's just a nod and a wink or a thumbs up. They're too nervous maybe to put on their own hat. They don't want their car damaged or so they're not putting on bumper stickers. I recommend magnetic bumper stickers, by the way, so when you're parked, you can just put them back in your car. But it's so important not only to breathe, relax, separate yourself from all the tenacity of the left, but also to remember we are not alone. We really are the majority, the dumb, unwashed, deplorable majority that just wants to be left alone to live our lives in freedom and prosperity.
That's it. That's it. And I think it's the hat is great, and I appreciate people have, you know, it's a self need preservation. People don't wear them. But giving indicators to others, maybe a little lapel badge, maybe even, you know, there's people I know that go, love my president, and just to try it, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, giving little indicators to people to see, to allow them to touch onto you as well, so that you have that, you know, if you imagine yourself like spiders on this invisible web. That's how I like to think of it. You know, I'm on that web with you. And if you need me to come and eat someone for you, I will totally do that. I really don't care. But we're all on this little web together, and it's a strong web. And when you pull on one of those strings of that web, people are there to back you up. And I really believe that about America, and actually in Britain now, you know, my face has that effect for people. People will come up to me and they'll say, you know, we've got this, we're changing this, we can do this. And it's really joyful, actually, to see, you know, we're like little beacons for people to sort of see that there's hope. And that's what your listeners can be as well. They are beacons, like little lighthouses, allowing people to see hope in what can be quite dark times. And I think that's really important.
Katie, I'm going to push this break a little bit so we don't have to keep you through another one. I just want to tell you that in my travels, when I'm wearing the MAGA hat, airline pilots, TSA agents, yeah, the security agents at airports, mothers walking in with their high school age daughters nodding at me. I always try and sit on the aisle so I can just gauge people's reactions as they come in. One teenage girl said, you know, I'm getting one of those for Christmas. I mean, it is so good for people to know.
Yeah.
And so I understand some folks are afraid, can't defend themselves. I get it. Keep yourself safe at all costs. Well, maybe that's overstated, because we do have to take some risk to save our republic. But you are not alone out there. It's so very important. We have a text to studio app, and I just got this text in. God, I love her. She's amazing, and she's a badass.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, right. No, it's a local text, unless your mom's here.
Thank you very much indeed. No, I'm so supportive of you guys and what you're up against. And I have to say, every time I come in through immigration, I tell the immigration officer, I'm here to speak out on behalf and in support of Trump and good Americans. And those immigration officers, they love Trump. They can't stamp my passport fast enough. Yep. So, yeah, absolutely.
Two more things. We got to get our personal stuff out of the way. The last time we were together at your event here in Colorado, I think I was third on the list of your future husbands. Boris Johnson was at the top. And I'm just wondering, you know, I know absence is supposed to make the heart grow fonder, but where are we on the list now?
Yes, Yes. Well, what happens, you see, as I promise people that they are definitely going to be my future husbands, is others come along. So I don't want to say that you've gone up or down in the ranking, but, you know, there's Modi. I think it's Modi's birthday, maybe even today or coming up in the next few days. He is doing such great things in India. So I love him. But, yes, no, my enduring love for all patriots who are fighting back for their country is always there. And there is always the fear factor as well of, you know, actually being married to me would be a horrendous thing in your life and not something any man ever needs. But and I do have my current husband, Matthew Mark.
You and I are both very happily married. So it's just a, it's just a fun joke to show the respect of patriots for each other. Last thing as we push this break a little bit, Boris Johnson made a wonderful public statement. You retweeted it. I think that's where I got it, about Hanukkah. There was something missing, and I'd like to play it. It's only about 40 seconds.
Yes, then
let you fill in what he was saying but couldn't actually speak.
The Hanukkah light tonight, and in the nights to come, I want you to remember this. When the Maccabees drove the forces of darkness out of Jerusalem, they had to do so on their own. Today, as Britain's Jews seek to drive back the darkness of resurgent anti-Semitism, you have every decent person in this country fighting by your side. Because Britain would not be Britain without its Jewish community. And we will stand with you and celebrate with you at Hanukkah and all year round. Hag Hanukkah Sameach.
There was just one piece of very important information that was unspoken in that message.
Yeah.
In the last couple of minutes that we've got here, let everybody know what he was talking about.
Yeah, and just to listen to that, you know, gives me absolute goosebumps. I can't tell you, all of the hairs on my arms are on end. So that's Boris Johnson absolutely digging into the heart of the emotional thing that's running through this country. What Boris Johnson was unable to say there was the darkness of Islam and the Islam party, which is Labour. And he's saying, do not let the darkness overcome Britain. He's saying, push back against the Islamists, push back against the Muslim invasion of this country. We stand with our Jewish people, because Jewish people in our country are the canary in the coal mine, because our Muslim population is rising so aggressively. They are being hounded out. Boris Johnson is saying, decent British people, stand with the Jews, and we will not let the darkness of the Islamists take over this country. And that's why this victory has been so very special for patriots like myself and our good Jewish friends who no longer have to leave through fear.
I want to encourage everybody who's on social media, follow Katie at the letters KT, KT Hopkins. 1.1 million followers you have on Twitter. I'm about to break 5,000. I'm pretty happy about that.
But,
and you don't follow very many people back. If maybe you can give me a follow, I can help boost up my own. Because this social media is so important, though, to communicate these messages. It's the great equalizer to the mainstream media.
Yeah, and for me to still be on there it's been a work of some art, not to be removed, as you can imagine. But I'm very grateful, and I do provide, I guess, a small glimpse into the truth of what is actually going on in the UK and how real Brits are feeling.
Well, Katie, Merry Christmas to you. I know Regina Thompson is working to get you back here for 2020.
Yes.
It's going to be
a
very exciting year coming up. Merry Merry Christmas to you and your family. Stay safe and look forward to talking to you again.
Oh,
I hope it's real soon.
I hope so, too. Very Merry Christmas to you, your station, and all your listeners.
All right. God bless. Good night. Goodbye. Afternoon over there. Dark morning over here. But anyway, we do have to get to our break. At 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by Bill Pasco. He's our Washington, D.C. insider from Tea Party Patriots. Some insights you will not get anywhere else. So lots of reasons for you to stick around on The Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corporan with you all week long, and you're listening to 710 KNUS.
When radio counts, count on Peter Boyles.
Peter out for this beautiful Christmas holiday. I'll be here today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. I'm Randy Corporan from Saturday Mornings. Just noticed that Democrat lawmaker Susan Lahntein wants to introduce a bill that will remove the phrase illegal alien from Colorado statutes because people aren't illegal. And it's all about dignity and respect. We may dig into that a little bit later in the show. We've got Bill Pasco at the top of the hour for a few minutes. Then we'll go to open lines for the rest of the show. 303-696-1971 if you want to file that away. And I just want to tell my next phone visitor that when I was doing a daily 5 to 8 a.m. radio show and I had the day off, I was sleeping. I wasn't up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but this guy is nonstop. His name is Peter Boyles. You may have heard of him. And he joins us again now to talk about the big sale event at Centennial Gun Club.
I'm sitting in the lobby of the gym getting ready to go work out. Now, I think if you spend as many years as I have getting up in the middle of the night, you always get up in the middle of the night. I think it takes a while to calm it down. Yeah, tonight's going to be cool. This is something we promised prior to everything that was going on at the radio station. And tonight we're going to go, you and I are coming with me, and I'm going to go with you. We're going to Dick's. We're going to the Man Centennial Gun Club off of Arapahoe Road for our Christmas sale. And I actually might even get behind the counter and shake hands and stand next to Steve Brunell and stand next to Dick and stand with you and just invite folks to come down. I mean, just a shopping night. We'll probably be about 4:30, quarter to 5. You'll be there. Dick, of course, is open all day today. Great deals. And for people that we've talked to, so many people we've met, and there was a story that was done that in the last few months in America, in the private sector, they rearmed the Marine Corps. People are taking classes, and you can sign up and win all those great deals for everybody. And it starts tonight. There's deals on first-timers, and Dick's our guy. And you and I have been together a lot of phone calls in the last couple of weeks, but I haven't seen you. And so it'd be cool to have you and me stand there and say hi to people as they come in the door and, you know, as what the demand said, to straighten this mess out. So, tonight I'll be there at 4:30. You'll be, what time do you think you'll roll up? What time am I going to see you?
Yeah, I'm thinking by 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's because you got a real job.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to be a lawyer.
You know, it's funny because I remember I think it was maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I, of course, I'm the typical guy, wait till the last minute to think about gifts even the adults in my life. I always let my wife deal with the toys when the kids were young. And and I ran over to Centennial, and it was just so easy to find.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, just come by and say hi and, you know, shake everybody's hand, and, you know, and Dick's a good guy, and there's nobody better than Steve, and to have you there, Randy, means a lot, especially after these last couple of weeks. So it'll be kickoff of Christmas season, and like I was saying too, it's been a great Christmas season between the toy run and then our day at Step 13 and the clothes for kids. It's been the radio station, the listeners have poured their hearts into this, and it'd be cool to see everybody. I mean, you don't have to buy anything over there. Just come over and say hi.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, we'll be there together, and you and I, and then things will be back somewhat to normal, I guess, January 30th. And I don't know.
December 30th,
December 30th, I'm sorry. I think there's all kinds of rumors about things that happened and didn't happen. And, you know, it eventually all gets ironed out. And no matter what, the radio station, the listeners to the morning show, princes and princesses, man. It's been like, I was telling the kids, man, we were talking all together last night at dinner. It's been great. And what a great year it's been. And, you know, the heroin injection fights and all the homeless stuff and just a good battle that's taken place. And I think in 2020, the battle continues.
No question. In 2020, the battle escalates. But tonight is going to be a night for some fun. Meet some folks, learn about classes, learn about our next Red Flag Town Hall. Yeah. CentennialGunClub.com/Peter for all the complete details. We're getting near the top. Go ahead. Anything
left? Right off of Arapahoe Road. I'm going to work out for an hour and hope I can catch it to tail end of the next one. Keep plugging the kid.
Sounds good, brother. You. All right.
Thanks,
see you soon.
Bye. Bye.
All right, we do need to take our break. Bill Pasco on the other side. We'll get some more nitty-gritty details about what's happening behind the scenes in Washington, D.C., because even though the Congress critters may be home trying to make, especially the lefties, making their impeachment case, man, those staffers and everybody else are working their tails off right now in D.C. We'll find out what we can from Bill Pasco when we come back, and then we'll take some of your calls, 303-696-1971. Randy Corporan in for Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS.
No obligation, no...